إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fourth session dealing with the book of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, which is known today as Al-Wasiyyah al-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice. And our topic tonight is, in a sense, the core of this book, and that is a discussion, or at least the beginning of the core issues related to the explanation of the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, يعني اتقوا الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئات الحسنة تمحها, to the end of the hadith. And this topic is really extremely important that we comprehend it, and that we ask Allah to open our hearts to accept it fully and to act upon it. And of course, the subject of taqwa, we know, inshallah, how important it is, how comprehensive it is, and how it is really that which will make the difference in the life of a Muslim, observing taqwa of Allah. And we're going to talk a little bit, continuation of the discussion last week of the importance of taqwa. And as we go on, inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the other important topics in the coming weeks of dhikr and dua and tawakkul ala Allah, and other important matters that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah refers to in this very, very brief, concise wasiyah. Before we start with our discussion tonight, we're going to look at the questions that we had from the study guide number 3, from lecture number 3 last week, 10 questions, and try to go through them as quickly as possible. The first question discussed the dua made by Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti rahimahullah after he mentions Ibn Taymiyyah's advising him with the reading of the book, the Sahih of al-Bukhari. Naam, Nadir. Allahu yufahimuna ma fihi.
May Allah allow us to understand what has been written in the
book. And he supplicated, saying, may Allah allow us to understand what is written in that book. He was referring to what? The Sahih of al-Bukhari. Naam. And he said also,
وَيُرْشِدُنَا لِلْعَمَلٍ بِمُقْتَضَاهُ.
وَيُرْشِدُنَا لِلْعَمَلٍ
بِمُقْتَضَاهُ.
بِمُقْتَضَاهُ. Naam. And that, and to guide us to acting upon that which it requires of us. What is required by the knowledge found in that book. And is there anything else that we want to say about this? This supplication now.
Shaykh Abdul Razak, after mentioning this, he said, and this is a dua that we all should be
making. And this is a dua that we all should be making. That Allah, cause us to understand the knowledge that we are seeking and to act upon it. And this is because, now, the correct state of mind that we should be in approaching knowledge. And also, naam, no doubt, that is that we must be seeking to understand what we are learning, and that we must have the intention of acting upon it, and we must make the effort to act upon it. And the reason why Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti rahimahullah mentions makes dua with this supplication, naam. Nah, because this was something that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah emphasized in his wasiyah to Abu al-Qasim. He emphasized this, what? again and again and again the importance of understanding the wasiyah in that case that he was writing to him, and then acting upon it. And this is something that is critical for every Muslim, and especially a person who considers themselves a seeker of knowledge. And this is the obligation of every Muslim. طالب العلم فريضةٌ على كل مسلم. It's obligatory on every Muslim to seek knowledge. The second question discussed two of the tafsir explanations of the wasiyah of Allah to observe taqwa of him. Naam, Ibrahim.
The explanation of what this wasiyah means is that amarnahum wa amarnakum.
Naam. And Imam Shawkani said the meaning of laqad wasayna means amarna. Yani wasayna means amarna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this wasiyah is mean that he's commanding. He's commanding. We have commanded those who we gave the books before with the same thing that we are commanding you with. Naam. And that was the tafsir of Shawkani. Naam.
He said that he commanded the nations that came before to observe the taqwa of Allah, and gave the same command that he gave to the Prophet.
We have commanded you, meaning the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the same thing that we commanded the people before to observe taqwa of Allah. By how though? That was from Jalalain. Now.
Worshiping in Allah alone and without
shirk. بِعِبَادَتِهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. يعني observing taqwa of Allah by worshiping Him alone without associating any partners with Him. يعني Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says that the meaning of taqwa here, how do we observe taqwa of Allah? By worshiping Allah alone without associating any partners with Him. يعني establishing of tawheed and avoiding shirk. And this is the core meaning of a taqwa, even though it includes so many other things. But what's more important than that? And the establishment of tawheed and the avoiding of shirk. And also, you alluded to the tafsir of Jalalain that he said taqwa by what means?
Yani khafu
iqabahu. Yani fear Allah's punishment, meaning protect yourself from His punishment by what?
Obedience.
By obeying Him, by being obedient to Him. How do you protect yourself from Allah's punishment? You fear Allah's punishment, you protect yourself from it. By what? By being obedient to Him. And we, and there are some other tafsirs, but for the sake of time, inshallah. And from the most important of the tafsirs, that I don't know if I mentioned it last week because we were short of time, that also some of the scholars say what? That this taqwa of Allah is by avoiding shirk. And, shirk wal ma'asi. Avoiding shirk and sins in general. After al-iman wal-amal al-salih. After having iman and righteous deeds. Yani a person has iman and they're doing righteous deeds, but that's not sufficient. Also you have to avoid shirk, which nullifies everything. You have to avoid sins, which take away, which cause decline and defect and shortcoming in one's iman. The third question discussed two of the matters that indicate the importance of taqwa, its magnificence and high station. Two matters, one of them. Naam, Ahmed.
التقوى هي وصية رب العالمين للأولين والآخرين من خلقه.
نعم. That the fact that التقوى, the observing taqwa, the command to observe taqwa of Allah, this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of humanity, to all of His creation, from the first of them to the last of them. This is the wasi of Allah. What could be more important than that? And the second matter, Mustafa.
It's the most repeated word in the Quran.
Naam, that it is of all the Sharia expressions, al-alfaz al-shar'iyya, it is the most repeated expression that came in the Quran from the speech of Allah to His creation. Yani Allah repeated again and again and again and again. Naam. Naam.
That the people of taqwa, they have many benefits and they enjoy many fruits. So one of them is they earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Naam.
And they earn the good ending.
Naam.
Is for the people of taqwa.
And from amongst the ayahs that mention taqwa, there are those which mention its fruits and its effects, and that the people of taqwa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people of taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with the people of taqwa, and that the good end is for the people of taqwa, amongst so many other things that if you were to examine the Quran, you would find there. Naam. That's the first thing, that it is the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the second thing that the Shaykh mentioned, but it's the most important of them. Now, Explain the wisdom behind Ibn Taymiyyah's choice of this wasiyah to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu over many other hadith mentioning taqwa. Yani of all the hadith mentioning taqwa, why did Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah choose this particular yani wasiyah to observe taqwa? Naam.
Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he had such a high station in his ibadah and knowledge with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It did not matter what your station was or how high of an abid you are, whatever the case may be, everyone is in need to be told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yani after mentioning this wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions some of the virtues of Mu'adh in terms of his status, his worship, his knowledge, his position with the Prophet. He said that he had a what? Manzila aliyah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After mentioning this wasiyah, he mentions this position of Mu'adh to bring to our attention what? That if a person of this status is in need to be advised to observe taqwa of Allah, then what about the rest of humanity? What about everybody else? And if a person of this status is in need to be advised with this, then what about everybody else? More so. Mention the response. Question number 5. Mention the response of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu to a man who advised him to observe taqwa of Allah. Somebody in the back. Now, Musa. And if there's no khair in you all if you don't say it, and if you don't advise us to observe taqwa of Allah, there's no khair in you. If you're afraid to tell your leaders and your rulers and your people of status, if you're afraid to tell them to observe taqwa, there's no khair in you. La khaira. Absolutely, there's no la khaira. Yani la nafi lil jins. There's absolutely no khair in you. Naam. And there's no khair in us if we don't accept it. Yani when you advise us to observe taqwa of Allah, there's no khair in us if we don't accept it. This is a tremendous statement from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Question number 6. Memorize the supplication which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, with which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Mu'adh radiallahu anhu after telling him that he loves him. You're back. And he told Mu'adh, Wallahi, I love you. Don't leave off saying this after every salah. What is this supplication? Naam, Abdul Rahman. Thank you for helping us in the back.
Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatika.
Naam. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Yani, oh Allah, help me to what? Remember you and to be grateful to you, to remember you, and then, if I remember you, to be grateful to you for all of your favors upon us, and then, as a result of that, what? To worship you in the best manner. Tremendous supplication that he, yani, advised Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and he told him, he said, I swear by Allah, Mu'adh, I love you, and this is the advice that I give you. Don't leave this off, don't ever leave off saying this after every salah. So, this is a sign to us that yani we cannot afford, we don't have the luxury of leaving off something. If it's that important to somebody like Mu'adh ibn Jabal, how much more important it is then for us to ask Allah to help us to remember him and to be thankful to him and to worship him in the best manner. Because we forget a lot and we are unfortunately often not grateful. And even though we are worshipping Allah, perhaps we are not worshipping Allah in the way that he deserves. And the 7th question mentioned the haqqullah, the right of Allah over the people, and the haqqun nas, the right of the people, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the hadith in which Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said he was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what to him first? He asked him, now, O Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah over his worshippers, over his servants, over the people? Naam. And what is the right of the servants that they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Naam. He said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. Naam. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that the right of Allah over the ibad is that they worship him, and meaning alone, with tawheed, and do not associate anything with him as an equal or partner or share in what is from his exclusive rights. And the rights of the people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that what? Is that what? That he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not punish the one who has not associated anything with him. Whoever avoided shirk at all costs, Allah will not punish them. And subhanAllah, what more could anyone ask for? And it's a guarantee of not being punished in the next life by avoiding shirk. That's why the tawheed and shirk is so important. Some people think, oh, so all you talk about is tawheed and shirk. This is the most important thing. Naam, that's the critical factor. Everything else is useless without this. Question number 8, mention the virtue of Mu'adh, the virtue of Mu'adh in which the word ratwa is mentioned. Also, secondly, the meaning of this word, and thirdly, its significance. And what is the virtue in which this was mentioned? This word was mentioned. Naam, Adam. And in the day of resurrection, when the people are resurrected, Mu'adh would be a stone's throw or a step ahead of the Ahlul Ilm, the ulama. Naam, that's the virtue, that the fourth virtue that Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah mentioned about Mu'adh, and in it came the word ratwa, which Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said the meaning of it is what? Khutwa. A khutwa, a step ahead of the ulama. He will be raised up in front of the rest of the Ahlul Ilm. And Shaykh said from the other meanings of it is a Ramya. Ramya bihajar. Yani that a stone's throw ahead of. And what is the significance of this? Either way, by whatever meaning that we take it to mean, a step ahead or a stone's throw ahead of the ulama on Yawm al-Qiyamah, meaning what? What is the significance? Showing the status, the imamah and the makana of Mu'adh in ilm, in knowledge. His station is that he's an imam of the people of knowledge. And he's the leader of the scholars. He's ahead of all of them, in front of the rest of the scholars, in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Question number 9, mention 5 sifat with which Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was described in his mission to Yemen. And in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missioning him to Yemen. Naam, Ibrahim. Mubalighan anhu. Meaning? One who will convey the message. And he will convey what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him with. Naam. Da'iyan. Yani that he will be a caller to the deen. Naam. Mufakkihan, yani one who will deliver understanding, fiqh of the deen, fiqh of understanding of the knowledge to the people, naam. Muftiyan, and also he would be a mufti. Yani a mufti meaning one who gives legal rulings to the people. If people need legal rules, they go to Mu'adh. And finally he said what? Hakiman, that he would be a judge or a governor. All of these things. And he was sent with, this was his mission, subhanAllah. And he, subhanAllah, naam. Question number 10 mentioned the 4 sifat with which Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was being described as resembling the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Al-Nahl. One of them. Ummatan. Second one? Qanitan lillahi. Hanifan. Alam yuku min al-mushrikeen. Yani these are the exact descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah Al-Nahl with. That he would be a ummah. Yani mu'allim al-khayr. Yani a whole ummah, yani in what? In calling the people and teaching the people the khair. And he would be what? Qanitan lillahi, constantly, continuously in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hanifan, inclined away from batil towards the truth. Inclined away from shirk towards tawheed. Naam. And the final one? Walam yaku min al mushrikeen, and he was not from amongst the people of shirk. Wahideen, naam. Hey, these are some of the points that we covered last week, and today, inshallah, we'd like to go on to what the Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah mentions after this. And just quickly, I want to mention the last thing that we read last week from, I think it was page 14, the end of that section. And what we're going to read from today starts on page 15 of the Arabic notes, Arabic explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak. And last week, the last thing that we read was where the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, he mentions that when Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned these matters showing the excellence and the virtue of Mu'adh he advised him with this wasiyah. Yani, in spite of, or in consideration of his high status, he advised him with this wasiyah. And this shows that everyone, that nobody is exempt at any time or in any situation, yani, is exempt from being in need of this wasiyah. And the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says at the end of what we read last week, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَصَّاهُ هَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّةِ فَعُلِمَ أَنَّهُ جَامِعًا. Yani, by the Prophet advising Mu'adh, and he being who he was, radiallahu anhu, this made us to know, فَعُلِمَ أَنَّهَا جَامِعًا, that this is a comprehensive wasiyah. Yani, A, أَنَّهَا وَصِيَّةً جَمَعَةَ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ, that this is a wasiyah that has collected all of the khayr. Then, يعني ثم يعلق شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية على ذلك, and then he says after this, وهي كذلك لمن عقلها, and it is comprehensive, it is just like that, يعني for the one who understands it, who comprehends it. And he confirms, يعني he re-emphasized this point, the importance of understanding the wasiyah and the importance of acting upon it. And finally, the last thing that we read from شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, he said, مع أنها تفسير الوصية القرآنية, يعني in addition to what, يعني being comprehensive, in addition to that, it is an explanation, a tafsir of al-wasiyah al-Qur'aniyah, yani the Qur'anic wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa. That this wasiyah to Mu'adh in that hadith is an explanation of this ayah from the Qur'an. Then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah begins to explain how, in what way, from what angle is it jamia, comprehensive, and then he also explains from what angle it is a tafsir of the Qur'anic wasiyah. And this will come, the Shaykh said, Shaykh Abdul Razak said, will come in, yani the following kalam from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that we're going to discuss tonight. Yani that number one, it is a wasiyah that is jami'ah, and number two, it is a wasiyah that is a tafsir of the Quranic wasiyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon all of humanity from the first of them to the last of them. Fadl. Here, the student who is reading for the Shaykh, he mentions the praise of Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, and salat and salam on his servant and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his family, his companions, all of them. And after that, he begins to read from the text of the book from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He says, the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says, and he quote from Shaykh al-Islam, and what follows in this paragraph is a quote from the text of the book that the Shaykh is going to begin to explain. Yani this is a quote from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Amma bayanu jam'iha, yani as for the clarification of it being comprehensive, this wasiyah being comprehensive, فَلِأَنَّ, it says فَإِنَّ, but it's a typing mistake, it should be فَلِأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ عَلَيْهِ حَقَّانَ فَلِأَنَّ. So what shows that it is comprehensive, the clarification is comprehensive, فَلِأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ, it is because the abd, the worshipper of Allah, the servant of Allah, عَلَيْهِ حَقَّانَ, there are two rights, يعني or two obligations upon him, حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَحَقٌّ لِعِبَادِهِ, the right of Allah subhanahu azza wa jalla, and a right or rights for the worshippers of Allah, the servants of Allah, the ibad of Allah, the people. Yani what clarifies its comprehensiveness is number one, is because in this wasiyah, it contains the fact that, yani it alludes to, and it clarifies the fact that the abd, that he has two obligations upon him. One, the obligation to Allah, and the other, the obligation to the people. ثم الحق الذي عليه لابد أن يخل به أحيانا. Then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, the right that is upon the human being, لابد أن يخل به أحيانا. يعني there's no escape from him sometimes failing to fulfill the obligation that is upon him. There's no escape from it. There's no escape. No one will fulfill it absolutely, completely, perfectly. إما بترك مأمور به أو فعل منهي عنه. Either from one of these two sides, he will fail to fulfill the obligation upon him in to some extent, sometimes, ahyanan, either by failing to fulfill an obligation that he has been commanded with, or by committing a thing that he has been prohibited from. And either he will fail to fulfill an obligatory duty, or he will engage in something that he has been prohibited from. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah goes on to say, فَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ وَهَذِهِ كَلِمَةٌ جَامِيَةٌ. So the Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh, observe taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ, wherever you may be. And this is a kalima jamia, a comprehensive statement from the Prophet ﷺ. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. This is jamiatan, comprehensive, yani including containing within it all of the khayr. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, وَفِي قَوْلِهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. And in the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, the words حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ, wherever you may be, is تَحْقِيقٌ لِحَاجَتِهِ إِلَى التَّقْوَى فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ. Yani is the what? Confirmation. In this word, حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ, is a confirmation of his need, the human being's need, to observe taqwa fi sir, in secret, wal alaniya, and in public, in the open, in secret and in the open. Yani that he must observe taqwa in yani حيثما كنت, wherever you may be, whether you're in secret or whether you're in the open. ثم قال واتبع, yani the Shaykh is saying here now, then after this Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said واتبع السيئه الحسنه تمحها. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh, after saying fear Allah wherever you may be, he said, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed, and it will erase it, it will remove it. And these are two angles so far that he mentioned, what? That this yani wasiyah contains what? Yani is comprehensive because it includes the rights of Allah and the rights of the human beings. And it's also comprehensive because he said in it, wherever you may be, fear Allah in every situation and circumstance. And it's also comprehensive because he said that he knows that the human being is going to fall short to some extent in some of this obligation. So he gave him the cure for your failure and to fulfill some of this obligation. The cure is what? أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَاتَ الْحَسَنَةَ. Follow up an evil deed with a good deed. And all of this is going to be our discussion tonight. The Shaykh is going to explain each of these aspects of this wasiyah. Then he says, يعني, follow up an evil deed with a good deed. It will remove it. فَإِنَّ الطَّبِيبُ مَتَى تَنَاوَلَ أو متى تناول المريض شيئا مضرا أمره بما يصلحه. For indeed the doctor, the tabib, follow up an evil deed with a good deed. For indeed the doctor, whenever the sick person has consumed something that is harmful, mudir, then the doctor what? Commands him with that which will cure him, which will correct his condition, will fix his condition. Whenever he consumes something that was harmful to him, the doctor orders him with that which will correct his condition. What is the sickness of the human being in committing sins and failing to fulfill the duties that Allah has placed upon us, so engaging that which is haram? So what is the cure that the doctor has ordered us with? Follow up an evil deed. When you consume something harmful, when you commit an evil deed, follow up with a good deed. That's the cure. That's the medicine. وَذَنْبُ Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, وَذَنْبُ لِلْعَبْدِ كَأَنُّهُ أَمْرٌ حَتْمٌ. And the sin for the abd, for the human being, it is as though it is an amrun hatmun. It is something la budda minhu. Yani it is inevitable. There's no escape from it. Sinning, there's nobody who can escape from it. Whether small or great, now or then, a lot or a little, there's no escape from it. Amrun hatmun. It is inevitable. فَالْكَيِّسُ. So the kayyis, the wise, intelligent, yani judicious person, the sensible person, al-kayyis, intelligent, هو الذي لا يزال يأتي من الحسنات بما يمحو السيئات. He is the one who continuously comes, yani brings, does al-hasanat, good deeds, from the good deeds which will erase the evil deeds. Yani the kayyis, the person who is smart, intelligent, he will continuously do good deeds that he know can erase the evil deeds. And Shaykh al-Islam says here, وَإِنَّمَا قَدَّمَ فِي لَفْظِ الْحَدِيثِ السَّيِّئَةِ. And he has يعني, brought the expression in this hadith, السَّيِّئَةِ, the evil deed, he has advanced it, brought it ahead. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مَفْعُولَ, even though it is the object, يعني that should normally come after, لِنَّ الْمَقْصُودُ هُنَا مَحْوَهَا لَا فِعْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ. Because what is intended here is the erasing or the removal of the sin. That's why it's coming first, because what is intended is the erasing of the sin, not simply the doing of good deeds. Yani he mentioned, yani follow up an evil deed with a good deed, because it's not simply intended to encourage you to do good deeds, but rather what is intended is the erasing of the evil deeds. That's why it's mentioned first. Because what is intended here is not just simply doing good deeds, but what is intended here is to make sure you erase the evil deeds that you do by bringing after them good deeds. فَصَارَ كَقَوْلِهِ فِي بَوْلِ الْعَرَبِ صُبُّ عَلَيْهِ ذَنُوبًا مِنْ مَاءٍ. And this became like his saying, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, to in reference to the urine of the Bedouin who came in the masjid and urinated in the corner. And what did the Prophet ﷺ, this is a tremendous hadith, but not for tonight. That is a tremendous hadith. Yani the Prophet ﷺ told them, the people, when they were getting ready to jump on the man for doing something horrible, but that wasn't the real way to deal with it, right? The Prophet told them, Subbu alayhi, pour upon it, Zanuban, a big bucket or pail, min ma'in, of water. He didn't say pour the water upon it, but he said pour upon it the water. He mentioned the thing that the action of pouring is going to happen to, the maf'ul, first, and then the water that's going to be poured upon it second. And in Arabic language, we know that the normal order, yani most common order, is fi'l, fa'l, maf'ul, bi, that the verb comes first, the one who's doing the action comes second, and then the maf'ul bi, the one that has happened to come last. But here, the thing that the action is occurring to is coming before, yani, instead of after. And there's a reason for this. And again, the reason for it is what? Because what is intended here is subbu alayhi, on the urine, pour upon it, because what is intended is the urine, to remove it by zanuban min ma'in, by the pail or the bucket of water. This is the end of the quote from Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, and here the Shaykh begins to explain Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He praises Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, and bears witness that none deserves worship except Allah alone, and that he has no partners. And he bears witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. And after this he says, for indeed Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti al-Maghribi rahimahullah, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, requested from him to advise him with a comprehensive wasiyah. He advised him, أَوْصَاهُ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He advised him to observe taqwa of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic. التي هي وصية الله تبارك وتعالى للأولين والآخرين من خلقه. This advice or this command to observe the taqwa of Allah, which is the wasiyah of Allah, the Blessed and the Most High, to the first and to the last of His creation. Yani to the whole of humanity, from the beginning of them to the end of them. And he, rahimahullah ta'ala, yani Shaykh al-Islam, mentions here the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla first, yani from Surah Al-Nisa, yani in that advice, the first thing he mentions to him is what? لَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. That indeed we have commanded those who are given the book before you. And you, meaning the Ahl Qur'an, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to observe taqwa of Allah. And from the Sunnah, he mentions the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, yani that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Yemen, he advised him to observe, and he advised him with this saying, ittaqillah haythuma kunta, observe taqwa of Allah wherever you may be, wa atbi as-sayyi'ati al-hasana tamhuha, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it will erase it, wa khalaq an-nas bi khuluqin hasan. And to treat the people or deal with the people, yani, with good character. And this part, yani, the last part of the hadith will come, yani, later on. نبه شيخ الإسلام التيمية إلى هذه الوصية للمعاذ رضي الله عنه مع إمامته وفضله وساق وجوها من الدلائل والشواهد على فضله رضي الله عنه وعلو منزلته منبها بذلك إلى أن الشخص مهما علت مكانته وارتفعت درجته لا يزال محتاجا إلى هذه الوصية. And here, this is something that we mentioned last week. The Shaykh is re-emphasizing this point, that here, with this wasiyah of the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh, he has, yani Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is informing us, is notifying us, is bringing to our attention that this wasiyah to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, in spite of his imamah, his yani high status as an imam and his excellence, and showing that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned various aspects that indicate and bear witness to the excellence of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu in his high station. He mentions this to bring to our attention that a person, مهما علت مكانته, no matter how high is his station, وارتفعت درجته, and his level, no matter how raised it is, he continuously is muhtajan, in need of this wasiyah. And we mentioned this last week. ثم نبه رحمه الله تعالى إلى أن هذه الوصية التي أوصى بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معاذ رضي الله عنه نبه رحمه الله إلى أنها وصية جامعة هذا من جهة. يعني this is what we want to deal with tonight. Yani these two points that the Shaykh mentioned, that Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in the, what we read from last week. Yani here, yani the last things that we read last week was Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah bringing to our attention that this wasiyah, which the Prophet ﷺ advised him with it he has noted, yani Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has noted that concerning this wasiyah, that it is a wasiyah that is jamia, it is a comprehensive yani wasiyah. This is from one side. In addition, yani from another aspect, he also nabbaha ila annaha tafsir wasiyatu al-wasiyah al-Qur'aniyah. Yani from another aspect, he makes note of what? That this wasiyah to Mu'adh, it is also an explanation of the Qur'anic wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the whole of humanity. So these are two notices that are connected to the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of them, annaha jami'atun. The first of them is that this wasiyah is comprehensive, and the second of them is that it is an explanation of the Qur'anic wasiyah, yani that we have mentioned previously, to observe taqwa of Allah. So here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah begins, yani shara'a, yani he enters into, he begins, fi bayan hadaini al-amrayni, bayan awalan annaha jami'atun, yani clarification of these two matters. Clarification first, that it is a comprehensive wasiyah, and then it will come after some pages, clarification, yani from another perspective, yani it's the perspective that it is, from the perspective that it is what? An explanation of the Qur'anic wasiyah. Yani Shaykh al-Islam here, and what we're going to read now, clarifies that it is comprehensive. And later on, yani, he's going to also deal with the issue of what? That it is an explanation, a tafsir of the Qur'anic wasiyah. That this hadith, wasiyah of the Prophet to Mu'adh, is an explanation of the Qur'anic ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has, and he commanded all the people to observe taqwa of him. So he began first with the clarification that this is a comprehensive wasiyah. He said, as far as the clarification, bayanu jam'iha, ay bayanu kawniha jami'atun. Bayanu kawniha wasiyah jami'ah. And as far as the clarification of its comprehensiveness, that it's a comprehensive wasiyah, falianna al-abd, and this is because the abd has two obligations upon him, the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the right of the servants of Allah. So the abd, he has two rights upon him, the right of Allah, and that is al-ubudiyyah. What is the right of Allah? Al-ubudiyyah, yani the worship of Allah. Wa ikhlas ad-deen, and making the whole deen for Allah alone. Wa ifraduhu tabaraka wa ta'ala bil-ibadah, and singling out Allah the Blessed and the Most High with this worship. Singling him out. Don't give it to anyone besides him. This is the right of Allah. And it has already passed with us in the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhumah, yani that we mentioned this before, that he was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the donkey. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah upon his servants and the right of the servants upon Allah? And I said, Allah and his messenger know best. And then he said, yani that they are two rights. The right of Allah upon his servants is that they worship him and they do not associate anything at all with him as an equal or partner or sharer. And the right of the servants upon Allah or from Allah is that he will not punish the one who does not associate anything with him. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a right over his servants, and the servants, yani in this hadith it mentions the right of Allah, right? Yani in reference to the people and their relationship with Allah, the right of Allah over them and their rights over Allah. And then the Shaykh says, and there's also other rights, and those are the rights what? The rights of the servants. Yani haqqun ala ibadihi wa lil ibad bainahum huququn mutafawita bihasab as-sila wal alaqa. Yani that there are other rights between the people that are different rights in accordance with their relationships and the ties between them. So there's, for example, the rights of parents. Yani because of their relationship, parents have certain rights. And there's the rights of those who, yani ذوي رحم, yani those who are your blood relatives. They have rights because of their blood relation to you. And there are rights for neighbors, for example, jiran and hakadha. Yani like this. Different kinds of people, depending on your relationship with them, have different rights. These rights have come by way of the sharia for the people, some of them, yani the rights of some over others. So the abd alayhi haqqan, yani so the servant has two obligations upon him, the right of Allah jalla sha'nuhu and the right And a right that's for the people, that the rights between the people amongst themselves. قَالَ ثُمَّ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ And then he said, as far as the right that is upon the human being, no matter whether it is the right that belongs to Allah or the rights of the people, لَبُدَّ أَن يُخِلَّ بِبَعْدِهِ أَحْيَانًا يعني it is a necessity that sometimes these rights will be, they will fail to be fulfilled, they will be violated, they will be broken. لَبُدَّ There's no escape from it. This is because the human being is not free. لَا يَسْلَمْ مِنْ النَّقْصِ وَالْخَلَلْ وَالْتَقْصِيرِ Because the human being is not free from defect, from يعني خلل, from some kind of shortcoming or defect or يعني like this, نعم. All of these words are similar, يعني نقص and خلل and تقصير. يعني the human being is not free from this, from having some kind of defect or shortcoming. فقد صح في الحديث عن نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال كل بني آدم يعني in the book it says كل ابن آدم but actually the word should be كل بني آدم يعني it's not a real difference in the meaning singular and plural but the sheikh actually said كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابين التوابون يعني meaning it has been authentically reported in the hadith from our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said every human being is one who makes mistakes, errors, sins. And the best of those who sin are those who tawwabun, yani those who repent frequently. Not just repent, repent frequently. This hadith is a proof of what? That every human being commits sins. Nobody is free from that. Everybody will fall short in some way or another, either by committing a prohibited act or falling short in obligatory duty. And in the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my servants, إِنَّكُمْ تُخْتِعُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يعني, O my servants, عبادي, إِنَّكُمْ Definitely you all are committing sins by day and by night. وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا And I am the one who forgives all sins. فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ So seek forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. This is also a proof what? That all human beings, يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ تُخْتِعُونَ Every one of you are committing sins day and night. Not once in a while, once a year, day and night. وَأَيْضًا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ In another authentic hadith, لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَلَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ These hadith are tremendous hadith in themselves. These hadith are tremendous hadith. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in authentic hadith, he said, if you didn't commit sins, Allah would have taken you away and brought a people who would sin. And therefore, they will seek His forgiveness, so He would forgive them. That's if you didn't sin, but everyone is sinning, right? But if you didn't sin, Allah will bring another people. He will take you away, and He will bring a people who will sin, and they will seek His forgiveness, and then He will forgive them. فَالْإِنسَانِ لَبُدَّ مِنَ الْخَطَرِ فَالْإِنسَانِ لَبُدَّ مِنَ الْخَطَرِ يعني the human being, there's no escape from him committing a mistake or error, or having a taqsir, a shortcoming, and for this reason, يعني it will come, يعني he's saying, rahimahullah, يعني come, we'll talk about it later, الذنبُ لِلْعَبْدِ كَأَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ حَتْمٌ يعني the sin for the human being is something, it is as though it is inevitable. And this is because the خطأ من طبيعة الإنسان, it's from the nature of the human being. It is, يعني a necessity that he must fall into some error or mistake or sin or shortcoming or defect. Then Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, and the right which is upon the human being, it is of necessity that he must fall short sometimes in some of it. What is the type of this ikhlal, yani this falling short in the obligation upon him? He said, إِمَّا بِتَرْكِ مَأْمُورٌ بِي أَوْ فِعْلٍ مَنْهِ عَنْهُ Either he will fail to fulfill something that he has been commanded with, or he will commit an act from those things that he has been prohibited from. These are the types of ikhlal, defect or shortcoming in fulfilling the rights that are upon the human being. Whether those rights are the rights of Allah or the rights of other human beings. Yani, this falling short, yani, لا يخلو من حالتين. It's not, yani, outside of these two conditions. Either he will fail to fulfill something he is, yani, that is, he is obligated with, yani, Allah commanded him with an obligation and he dropped it. He didn't do it. He didn't, yani, fulfill it. So he fell short in this and he, yani, neglected it. He neglected to do it. Or he committed something that he's prohibited from. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited him from some matter. حرم عليه أمرا ففعله. Allah made it haram, a certain thing, and then he did it anyway. In this case, therefore, so الخطأ يعني the mistake or error or sin الذي يقع فيه ابن آدم يعني that the human being falls into is either from one of these two sides, either failing to fulfill an obligatory duty or committing a prohibited act. Here the Shaykh talks about التقوى. And from this hadith, and this is really of critical importance. قَالَ اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, observe taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. This is a comprehensive word. هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ جَامِعَةٌ. It's very comprehensive, this little sentence, this statement. اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Yani, observe taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. This word is comprehensive. Yani, it combines تَجْمَعْ فِعْلَ الْمَعْمُورُ وَتَاقَ الْمَحْذُورُ. It combines the doing of that which you have been commanded, as well as the leaving off that which you have been warned against, prohibited from. And this is because taqwa عند الإطلاق, when it's used in the absolute sense, in the ayah of Quran or in the hadith that commands us with it, yani this word taqwa, when it's used in its absolute sense, على الإطلاق, it combines the doing, yani the fulfilling of the command, and the leaving off of the prohibition. It means both, it combines both of these. Whenever the word taqwa is used in its absolute sense, when it's not combined with something else. While when it is combined with other than it, يعني إذا دم إليها غيره, يعني if something else is combined with it, كان يضم مثلا إلى التقوى البر أو الإيمان. يعني for example, if taqwa is mentioned with bir, or taqwa is mentioned with iman, or something similar to this, in that case, when it is combined with something else, تكون التقوى في ترك المنهي. Then taqwa, its meaning then would be abandoning things that you have been prohibited. Taqwa then means what? Leave off the prohibited deeds. And that which has been combined with it will mean do the things that you are commanded with. Yani if taqwa, for example, is mentioned, albir wa taqwa, then in this case, albir means doing the good deeds and the taqwa means avoiding the sinful things. Well, when taqwa is used by itself, it means both of them. Avoiding the haram and doing the good things. It means both of them. But when it's combined with something else, then taqwa means avoid the sinful, prohibited things. And the other thing, the bir or iman, means doing the good things or the things that you are commanded with. So the Shaykh repeats, he says, yani, when it's used in its absolute sense, yani in the wasiya, when you are commanded with it in this absolute sense, then it tatanawalu al-amrain ma'an. Then it includes both of these affairs together, that is, doing the commanded thing and avoiding the prohibited thing. And this is because taqwa, yani li'anna taqwa, and this is critical definitions here, li'anna taqwa min al-wiqaya. Because taqwa, this word taqwa is from the word wiqaya. Wal-murad bil-taqwa, wiqaya means a shield or something that you protect yourself with, okay? And the intended meaning of taqwa here, it means أن تجعل بينك وبين ما تخشاه من سخط الله وعقابه وقاية تقيك. Yani it means that you place something between you and the thing that you fear from the yani displeasure of Allah. Placing between you and the thing that you fear of the displeasure of Allah and His punishment, placing between you and His displeasure and His punishment, a wiqaya, a shield that will protect you, taqiyka, that will protect you. Mahiya, hadhi wiqaya, what is this wiqaya, the shield that you place between yourself and the displeasure of Allah and His punishment? Fi'lu al-ma'ru wa tark al-manhi. The shield, the wiqaya, that you place between yourself, it is doing things that you have, the things that you have been commanded, and leaving the things that you have been prohibited. And whoever does the things that Allah has commanded us with and avoids what He has prohibited us, this is the shield that protects you from the displeasure of Allah, the wrath of Allah, and the punishment of Allah. So the wiqaya here is doing what you have been commanded and avoiding what you have been prohibited. وَلِهَذَا فَإِنَّ أَحْسَنَ مَا عُرِّفَتْ بِهِ التَّقْوَى مِنْ عِبَارَةِ السَّلَفِ وَأَلْفَاظِهِمْ فِي تَعْرِيفِهَا تَعْرِيفِ طَلْقِ ابْنِ حَبِيبٍ. And for this reason, the best of what a taqwa has been defined with from the expressions of the Salaf, the early generation of this ummah, the expressions that they use in giving a definition of taqwa, from the best of them is the definition of Talq ibn Habib, من علماء التابعين, who was from the scholars of the تابعين رحمهم الله. His definition has been praised by a group of the imams, from amongst them Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, from amongst them al-Hafidh al-Zahabi, from amongst them al-Imam ibn Qayyim wa ibn Rajab rahimahullah. Yani all of these scholars have praised this definition of Talq ibn Habib for at-taqwa. A group of the ahlu ilm, the people of knowledge, have praised his ta'arif. Yani the wording here should be athnu ala ta'arifihi lit-taqwa. Instead of ta'arif al-taqwa, ala ta'arifihi lit-taqwa. Wa annahu ta'arifun jami'un. Yani they have praised his definition for taqwa, and they have said that it is a definition that is comprehensive. Qala rahimahullah fi ta'rifiha taqwa Allah. Yani he said, rahimahullah, Talq ibn Habib, in his definition of the taqwa of Allah, an ta'amala bi ta'atillahi. First point, what? An ta'amala bi ta'atillahi. That you act upon obedience to Allah. And you do things that are obedience to Allah. Ala nurun min Allah. Based upon a light from Allah. Yani light from Allah, what? That you're doing something that is obedience to Allah, not out of ignorance, but based on what? Revelation, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who made you know that this is something that's obligatory. Not guessing, conjuncture, I feel this is good. No, but you act in obedience to Allah based on knowledge, nur min Allah, raja'a thawab Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah. Yani you act in obedience to Allah based on knowledge, hoping for the reward of Allah. This is very important, that you have to not just do good, but do good hoping for reward from Allah. You're doing it for the sake of Allah, you hope for His reward. And the second line, he said, وَأَن تَتْرُكَ مَعَسِيَةَ اللَّهِ, and that you leave disobedience to Allah. عَلَى نُورٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, based on a light from Allah, based on knowledge. خِيفَةَ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ, and this is out of fear of the punishment of Allah. So on these two lines there's what? Acting upon obedience to Allah and avoiding disobedience to Allah. And both of them require what? That you do it. Yani the acts of obedience, avoiding acts of disobedience based upon knowledge. Doing acts of obedience, hoping for the reward of Allah, and avoiding sinful deeds, fearing His punishment. So he has combined, rahimahullah, in his definition of taqwa, between these two matters. Acting upon the command and avoiding the prohibition. And he has made as a condition, وَاشْتَرَفَ فِي كُلٍ مِّنْهُمَا الْعِلْمِ. And he made as a condition to each one of these things, in doing the act of obedience and avoiding the act of disobedience, he has made as a condition for its validity that it has to be based upon ilm. He said, ala nur. Wa nur ilm. Yani nur means knowledge. Yani that, and takunu ala ilmin bil ma'amur bi. That you are acting upon knowledge of that which you have been commanded with, and upon knowledge of that which you have been prohibited from. يعني تتعلم والمأمور, يعني that you learn the commands that you have been commanded with, so that you may do them. And you learn the manhi, the things that are prohibited, so that you may leave them. But you have to learn though. And the purpose of knowledge, as we say all the time, is to act upon it, right? Not learning what Allah has commanded us with and you don't intend to act upon it. Learning what Allah has prohibited and you don't intend to act upon it. Then there's no benefit. Because what? It would be a hujjah laka awalaika. It will be for you or against you. In this case, if you don't act upon it, it will be against you. So he said, for this reason, ألف العلماء رحمهم الله. For this reason, the scholars authored books, may Allah have mercy upon them, in the subject of al-kabair. They didn't mention in those books nothing except the kabair, the major sins. They said the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, to the end of it. Yani murder, shirk, stealing, interests, taking pictures of living beings with souls, disobedience to parents. They mentioned the major sins, gambling, intoxicants, homosexuality, illegal sexual relations with the opposite sex that you're not married to, isbal, your garment hanging below your ankle, all of these things they mentioned. Yani al-Imam al-Zahabi in his book Al-Kabair mentioned 70 of the major sins. With each one with its evidence and proof, showing its seriousness and its danger and the consequence of engaging it and the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited it. And that is from the Kabair. Each one of these things they mention, yani with the evidence of its prohibition and the clarification of its danger and its يعني عقوبة, it's punishment. Why? So that the believing servant, just like he is required, مطلوب منه أن يعلم المأمور به ليفعله, just as he is required to know what he is commanded with so that he may do it, so likewise he is مطلوب, مطلوب منه أن يعلم المنهي عنه لترك أو ليتركه. يعني he must also know that which he is prohibited from so that he may leave it. How can a person shield himself? من لا يدري ما يتقي. How can the person shield himself when he doesn't know what to shield himself from? The person who doesn't know the things that have been prohibited, how can he protect himself from them? The one who doesn't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited him from, how can he protect himself from it? And for this reason, when the ignorance of many of the people, yani became widespread, the ignorance of many of the people became widespread of the kabair, and the harms of the kabair, and the punishments of the kabair, they committed them, and they didn't care. Yani they fell into them, and they didn't care. Because people didn't know. They didn't know this is prohibited, that's prohibited, this other is prohibited. Because they didn't learn, and they didn't care to know. So they committed all of these acts with no concern whatsoever. But some of them, when it was brought to their attention, for example, that this is a major sin, and what is its punishment, and what yani it will lead to, it will result in, the effect of it, he became saddened, sorry, asifa ala al-waqt alladhi mada min hayatihi wa lam ya'lam bidhalika. Yani he became sorry for the time of his life that passed away while he didn't know about these things. He was engaging in all of these things and he didn't know about it. Now he became sorry. Some became sorry. Yani he, meaning that his intent in from this was that what? لو جاء هذا العلم مبكر, يعني if this knowledge had came to him early on, perhaps his affair يعني would be different. يعني he would have been had a different life. Therefore, the عبد يحتاج فعلا إلى علم العلم بما أمر ليفعله ويحتاج أيضا في الوقت نفسه إلى العلم بالمنهي ليجتنبه. يعني therefore the servant, the عبد, is in need, in reality is in need of knowledge of what he has been commanded with so that he may do it. And he is in need also at the same time to have knowledge of what he has been prohibited from so that he can avoid it. يَحْتَاجُ فِيهَا وَيَحْتَاجُ فِيهِمَا. And he also needs in these two things, the things that he has been commanded with and things that he has been prohibited from, إِلَى الرَّجَاءَ وَالْخَوْفِ, to have hope of Allah's mercy and his reward, and to have fear of Allah's punishment and the consequence of disobedience to him. He must have these two things, الرَّجَاءَ وَالْخَوْفِ, hope of Allah's reward and his mercy, and fear of his punishment. Hoping for Allah's mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of his punishment. So this definition is a comprehensive definition, and it is magnificent in its clarification of the reality of at-taqwa. That taqwa, at the time when a person is advised with taqwa, in its absolute sense, it combines with it, within it, the يعني that the person فعل الأوامر, that one must do the things that we have been commanded with and must leave the things that we have been prohibited from. Here the Shaykh goes on to discuss the expression يعني in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, اتقوا الله حيث ما كنت, wherever you may be. يعني wherever you may be. And this is normally translated as wherever you may be, because حيث, يعني حيث is what? Is a ظرف, مكان, that indicates position. يعني like in front of or behind, wherever, wherever you may be. But the meaning of it here is more than that. The Shaykh, he says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't suffice in his wasiyah to Mu'adh by just saying ittaqillah. He didn't just say to him fear Allah, but rather he attached to it his saying حيث ما كنت, حيث ما كنت, أي أن التقوى يحتاج أن يلازمها العبد في كل أوقاته. يعني that the servant, the worshipper of Allah, the abd, is in need of holding tight, adhering to, sticking to, becoming inseparable to this, of this, being inseparable from a taqwa fi kulli awqati, in all of his time, all the time, wa fi jimi ahwali, in all of his situations or circumstances, fil hadar wa safar. And in the book it says al hadar, it should be yani with va, it should be with daad, hadar, hadar yani when he is present, hadar with daad, was suffer, and when he is traveling, when he is resident and when he is traveling. And he must observe taqwa in all times and in all situations, whether he is resident or he is traveling, في الليل وفي النهار, in the night and in the day, في العلانية وفي السر, when you are in the open or you are in secret, في أي مكان, in any place, وفي أي مجال, in every مجال, يعني environment, situation, whatever, وفي أي وقت, and in every time, in every time or place or situation or circumstance. Whether he is in his house with his children, he has a need to be accompanied with taqwa. Whether he is in his work, his amal, his wazifa, his occupation, his tijara, his trade, his salat, and even his prayer, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ الْمَسْجِدِ, when you enter the masjid, fi جَمِيعُ أُمُورِكَ, in all of your affairs, you are in need to be accompanied with a taqwa in all circumstances. فِي كُلِّ أَحْوَالِكَ. قال اتقوا الله حيثما كنت. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, observe taqwa of Allah wherever you may be in every situation or circumstance. A لازم تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني stick to the taqwa of Allah في الحضر والسفر والسر والعلانية والغيب والشهادة في كل أهوالك في جميع شؤونك. لازم تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى حيثما كنت. يعني stick to the taqwa of Allah whether you are resident or traveling, whether you're in secret or in public, whether you're in the ghaib, absent from the people, or shahada, in their view, in all ahwal, in all situations, fi jamee shu'unuk, in all of your affairs, family affairs, business affairs, whatever it may be, in every situation or circumstance, stick to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haythu ma kunta. And here the Shaykh Abdul Razaki says, why must you stick to the taqwa of Allah in every situation and circumstance, in every place, in every affair? يعني why? لأنَّكَ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ يَرَاكَ. Because wherever you may be, in whatever situation or circumstance, public or private, the Lord of the worlds sees you. Wherever you may be, the Lord of the worlds sees you. He is looking at you. لَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ مِنْكَ خَافِيَ. Not even a secret of yours is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then here he quotes a line of poetry, إِذَا خَلَلْتَ دَهْرَ يَوْمًا. It says إِذَا, يعني إِذَا مَا, but the Shaykh, he actually, when he said this, he didn't mention the word مَا, but it's written in the transcript, إِذَا خَلَلْتَ الدَّهْرَ يَوْمًا فَلَا تَقُلْ خَلَوْتُ وَلَكِنْ كُلْ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبٌ. يعني if you are alone at any point in life, خَلَلْتَ الدَّهْرَ يَوْمًا, one day you are alone, don't say you are alone, but rather say that there is a raqib over me, a watcher. And if you ever found yourself alone, don't say you're alone, but know that Allah is watching. So it is obligatory upon the servant to stick to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever he may be, in every situation or circumstance, in any place that you may be in, whether the people are seeing you or they are not seeing you. Whether the people know what you are doing or they don't know about it. In every situation or circumstance, stance is obligatory to stick to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here he said, اتقوا الله حيث ما كنت. This is a comprehensive statement that collects within it the khair. Yani it has brought every kind of khair. أتت عليه أجمعه. Yani it has brought with it every type of khair. And for this reason, it was the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the first of the people and the last of the people. And it was the wasiyah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم دوما لأمته أفرادا وجماعة, constantly, at all times, always, he was advising his ummah, individuals and groups of them, with this wasiyah, the wasiyah of the Prophet and the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here he says in his statement, حيث ما كنت, يعني شيخ الإسلام تيمية said, this is تحقيق لحاجته إلى التقوى في السر والعلانية. And in this statement of the Prophet ﷺ, حيثما كنت, wherever you may be in every situation or circumstance, this is a confirmation of the servant's need to observe taqwa in secret as well as in public. Yani meaning that the abd is in need of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every moment, at every breath, at every movement, in every affair of his affairs, and every time. Yani it is obligatory that يعني في كل خطوة, and every step that you move with, observe taqwa of Allah. When you stand up, when you sit, when you take, when you give, when you speak, when you do anything to the end of it, in all of these things you must be accompanied يعني in it with the taqwa of Allah. اتقوا الله حيثما كنت. Here he says what again, This is the confirmation of the need of the abd to observe taqwa of Allah in secret and in public. In secret, he says, it means in the situation when you're in khalwa, khalwatul insan, when the person is alone in seclusion, such that no one of the people of the human beings see you. And alaniya means عندما تكون مختلطاً بهم, when you are mixing with the people, when you are amongst the people. So the human being, when he is in mixing with the people, تجده يصانع ويسارع ويسائر ويعمل على ما عليه من هو مختلط به. Again, there's a mistake here. It says ويعمل على ما عليه من هم. It should be من هو مختلط بهم. يعني the human being, when he is mixing with the people, you find him, يعني just going along with them, يصانع, cooperating with whatever it is that they are calling for. وَيُسَايِرْ, يعني that he is willing to go along and to comply. The human being, when he's mixing with the people, he goes along with the people. And he does whatever he finds the people that he's mixing with doing, when he's with the people. لَكِنْ فِي سِرْ فِي خَلْوَتِهِ. But when he is in secret, when he is in seclusion, تَنْكَشِفْ لَهُ هُوَ حَقِيقَةُ نَفْسِهِ. Then his true reality comes out. It's uncovered when he is alone. Huh? When the person is alone, that's when you see who they really are. And the person sees yourself. You know who you really are when you're alone. When there's no one there to see you, no one hears you, no one knows what you're doing except Allah. The Lord of all the world, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is overlooking you when you are in secret, when you are in private, when you are absent from the people, or when you are witness with them. I mean, when you are in secret and when you are in public, when you are yani absent from the people or when you are witnessed by them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is muttali'un alayh. Yani He is looking, overlooking you. He's seeing all of this. And for this reason, it is yambaghi ala al-abd. Yani it's obligatory, it's necessity, it's incumbent, it's expected for the person to do that which would be ya'mal ala islah nafsihi wa tahqiqihi li taqwa rabbih subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kulli awqati. Yani it's incumbent upon us to do that which will rectify our souls, and that through which we will achieve the taqwa of our Rabb in every time. Whether we are absent from the people, al-ghayb, or we are witness, present with the people, shahada, whether we are fisirri, in secret, or alaniya, in open, know that the person, when they're in secret, when they're in open, when they're absent from the people, they were present with the people, all of this is in reference to binisbati lana nahnu. This secret, public, private, all of that is in reference to people. As far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sir, when you're in secret, and the alaniya, when you're in open, yani when you're absent from the people, or when you are present with the people, yani all of this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is all the same. Being in secret is the same as being in open. Being absent is the same as being present. وَلَكِنْ هِيَ بِنِسْبَةِ لَنَا sir. Even though with us, we say that the person is in secret. But with Allah, there's no secret. There's no yani seclusion. So when the person hides himself from the eyes of the people, then we say that asbaha fi sir. Now he's in secret. Asbaha fil ghayb. He's absent. La had yattali alayhi. There's no one who sees him yani from the people. This is in reference to us, the people. But as far as Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, then being in secret with Him, it is yani alaniya. It's open. Being absent is the same as shahada, being present. لا تخفى عليه خافية. There is no secret that is hidden from him. And here the Shaykh mentions an ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 10th ayat. سواء منكم من أصر القول ومن جهر به. And it is the same from you whether you say something secretly, speech, or you say it openly. ومن هو مستخفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. Or even when you are hiding in the night, it's night time and you are hiding from the people, or when you are going forth openly in the daytime. All of this is the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no difference. All of this with the Lord of all the worlds is all the same. And whether you're going forth in the daytime or hiding in the nighttime, whether you say something yani openly or secretly, it's all the same to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no difference for Him. So hiding in the night, yani this is the most, yani the strongest that a person can be hiding. Yani it's nighttime and they're also hiding from the people, from the eyes of the people. But yani with Allah yani it's all the same. Al kullu inda Allah sawa'un. Therefore the servant, it is obligatory upon him to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Rabb, whether he is in secret or whether he is in the open, whether he is absent or whether he is present, in all of his situations, in all of his affairs. This is what makes clear to us, if we understand this, this is what makes clear to us that this wasiyah is a yani al-wasiyah al-azim al-mubarakah. It is a blessed, magnificent advice. Wasiyah, the wasiyah of the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. It is a wasiyah that is comprehensive. It has collected within it every kind of khair. Allahu musta'an. After this, yani he says, "An atbi' sayyat al-hasana tamhuha," and follow up a evil deed with a good deed. Yani atbi' here means following up a evil deed with a good deed. It means al-ityan biha mubashiratan la tuakhir. It means that following up a evil deed with a good deed means immediately, without any delay. Here it is as though he is bringing to our attention that the abd mahma jahada nafsahu, no matter how hard he strives against himself to stick to the taqwa of Allah, la budda min kusur, he will have some shortcomings, la budda min qata, he will make a mistake or commit a sin, la budda min zalla, he will slip, yani there will be a lapse or a slip. No matter how much a person strives against himself to observe the taqwa of Allah, there will be some kind of shortcoming. Every human being, and he commits mistakes. And whenever mistakes appear from him, or shortcoming appear from him, or tafreet, and he failing to fulfill the duties upon him, or committing a prohibited act, then follow up an evil deed with a good deed. Yani hasten, badir, sari, hasten to do a good deed. Because indeed, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Tuhud, 11th Surah, 114th Ayat, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Yani indeed, good deeds remove evil deeds. And this is a reminder for those who would be reminded. So follow up an evil deed with a good deed. Yani badir hasten, la tuakhir, la tuajjil, la tusawwif. Yani don't delay, don't put it off, don't say later, yani soon. Innama sa'ri wa badir, but hasten quickly, without hesitation. This is a magnificent wasiyah, very magnificent. Thamina, valuable, to beyond what we can imagine. Yani lil ghaya, to the fullest extent. It is valuable, precious, priceless. That the abd, yambagi alayhim, it is incumbent upon him, especially at the time of slipping and mistakes and sins, to hasten to do good deeds. To hasten in doing good deeds. Yani when a person realizes they have committed a sin, made a mistake, a slip or whatever, hasten in doing good deeds. Don't wait until later. But hasten to make up for it. Yani to take the medicine that cures and removes the harm of it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Atbi asayyah," yani follow up the sin, yani follow it up, yani immediately, hastening, without hesitation. Don't let there come between you and doing the good deed, nafs amara, yani the nafs that commands you to do evil, or the shaitan rajim, or the rejected shaitan, or qurana asu, or the evil companions. Don't let yani the nafs, your own self that commands you to do evil, or the shaitan, or your evil companions come between you and hastening to follow up an evil deed with a good deed. Hasten with every haste to follow up an evil deed with a good deed. And the meaning of erasing it, tamhuha, yani that you follow up a good evil deed with a good deed, tamhuha, it means tuziluha, that it will remove it. Tudhab atharuha, it will go away with its effect, yani its consequence. As Allah mentions in the Quran, indeed good deeds remove evil deeds. Yani the meaning here, what? It will erase it. It means that yani it will take away the evil deeds. It will erase the effect, yani the consequence of them. So this is a wasfa, yani wahadihi al-wasfa, yani this wasfa, this prescription, yani the prescription that the doctor gives you when you're sick, yani this prescription is follow up an evil deed with a good deed. It will remove it. This prescription is the prescription of the doctors of the hearts. Yani follow up an evil deed with a good deed is the prescription, not of the doctor of the body, but the doctor of the hearts, atba' al-qulub. Because the qulub, the hearts also become sick, just like the bodies become sick. And the hearts, when it's afflicted with something of sickness, then the limbs of the body follow it. Either, yani when the heart becomes sick, the limbs will do sick actions. Either what? Either by failing to do obligatory duties, or committing something that we have been warned against of sinful deeds. And when the heart becomes sick, you will start to do with the limbs of the body the actions of sickness. And for this reason, he said, Rahimahullah, yani Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, for indeed the doctor, when the sick person has consumed something that is harmful, he commands that sick person with that which will rectify his situation, which will cure him. So he prescribes for him something that is appropriate for this harmful thing which he has, what the sick person has consumed, in order to what? To cure it. And perhaps sometimes the doctor will say to him, "Akfir minha," take a lot of the medicine. Yani, take it in the morning, take it in the evening. Sometimes he will say, 10 times drink this, until he cures or removes the harm which occurred by him putting something into his inner part of his body from those things which are harmful to the body. Every time he hastens in these affairs, yani the things that rectify and cure, every time he hastens to do them, it will become, yani as much as he hastens, it will become more and more beneficial to his body. Hastening to take the medicine, the prescription. He said, indeed the doctor, when the sick person takes something that's harmful, then he orders him to take that which will cure him. And then he said, وَذَنْبُ لِلْعَبْدِ كَأَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ حَتْمٌ, and the sin for the abd, it is as though it is something that is inevitable. And this, the meaning has passed by us of some hadith of this meaning, and there are also a lot of other hadith under this subject, under this title of yani that the human being can't escape from sin. And from amongst them is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, كُتِبَ عَلَى إِبْنِ آدَمْ حَظُّهُ مِنَ الزِّنَا لَا مَحَالَ, that it has been written for the human being his portion of zina, no escape from it. Every human being will commit zina. And then he mentioned the zina of the eye, yani this type of zina, by looking at that which is haram, or the zina of hearing, or listening to that which is haram, or the zina of the sight, seeing that which is haram, or zina of the hand, touching that which is haram, and to the end of the hadith, meaning that there's all kinds of zina, everybody is going to get some of it, little or more. It is as though this is something, the human being committing sins is something inevitable, meaning la mahala, there's no escape from it, la buddha an yakun, it must be. Yani la mahala, la buddha an yaqa, it must occur. Then, in that case then, al-halatu hadhihi al-dhanb fi haqq al-insan amrun hatmun la buddha an yukhti kulli ibni adam khata fama al-matlub. So what we're saying here is what? The situation is such, our condition is such that sin, yani in terms of the human being, is something that's inevitable. He must yani fall into error. Every human being commits error. So what is required? What is the matlub? We're a little over time, but we're going to finish inshallah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala quickly. What is the matlub? Qala al-kayyis yani al-hadhik al-fatin al-aqil al-nabih. Yani the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said fal-kayyis al-kayyis yani the wise, intelligent, smart, clever, sensible person. Al-kayyis has these meanings. The wise, smart, intelligent, clever person, هو الذي لا يزال يأتي من الحسنات بما يمحو السيئة. He is the one who continuously comes, yani performing good deeds, the amount of good deeds that's necessary to wipe away the evil deeds. He is the smart one. He continuously does good deeds such that it will wipe away his سيئات. He comes with حسنات أي يستكثر منها. He does a lot of good deeds. Not a little bit. The wise person is the person who does a lot of good deeds, knowing that he commits a lot of sins, or she commits a lot of sins. يُجَاهَدُ نَفْسُهُ عَلَىٰ إِكْثَارَ مِنَ الْحَسَنَةِ, and he strives against himself to do plenty of good deeds. Don't be lazy. I made my 5 prayers today. Yani I fasted once in a while. I read the Quran now and then. And that's good. No. يُجَاهَدُ نَفْسُهُ, strives against himself لِلْإِكْثَارِ, to do a lot of good deeds. That's the what? كَيِّس, the person who's smart, who's clever, who's intelligent. The dumb people, they're just content with a little bit. And they forget all of the lot of sins that have been committed. But he, the intelligent person, the kayyis, he strives against himself, عَلَى الْإِكْثَارِ, to do a lot of hasanat. And he, yani, does it in all different types of ways. مَجَالَات, salat, does some salat, some siyam, some sadaqah, some birr, yani, being kind and dutiful to parents, وَسِلَات, yani connecting with the ties of relations. To other than this, of the types and the ways of ihsan, of doing good, he does a lot of it. All kinds of good. There are a lot of ways to do good. Take from all of them. Don't be stingy. Don't be stupid. فَهَذَا مِنَ الْفَتَنِ This is from intelligentness or cleverness or sensibility, and this is from good behavior. يعني حسن التصرف, يعني having discretion, doing a lot of good deeds. The كَيَّس, he is the one who continuously, مُسْتَمِرًا, مُدَاوِمًا, continuously, ongoing, constantly, he does good deeds, or she does good deeds in order to wipe away the sinful deeds, يعني to remove the effect of the sinful deeds. And here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah closes by saying, وَإِنَّمَا قُدِّمَا فِي لَفْظِ الْحَدِيثِ السَّيِّئَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مَفْعُولَةِ And here he has advanced, he has mentioned the سَيِّئَة, the word سَيِّئَة before حَسَنَة, even though it is the thing that the action is supposed to occur to, and as we mentioned earlier, it should come later, but he mentioned it earlier, لِأَنُّهُ قَالَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ يعني in the hadith, the Prophet said, أَتْبِعَ السَّيِّئَة, he mentioned سَيِّئَة before الحسنة, يعني أَتْبِعَ السَّيِّئَة الحسنة تَمْحُهَا. يعني he said that in this hadith, the سَيِّئَة is mentioned first, even though يعني it is the one that the action is going to come upon. يعني that the حسنة is going to affect the سَيِّئَة, but he mentioned سَيِّئَة first, and then حسنة, that's going to affect it. يعني he's saying, أَتْبِعَ السَّيِّئَة الحسنة, each one of them linguistically in this hadith, أَتْبِعَ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ, both of them are what? Mansub. Mafoolun bi. The first one, as-sayyah is maful al-awwal, and al-hasana is maful al-thani. Both of them are maful linguistically, from the linguistic perspective. But from the meaning of the hadith perspective, the mafoolun bi, the one that the action is happening to, is the sayyah. Because it is the thing that's going to be removed by the hasana. So in the maqsood of the hadith, the hasana is the fa'il, the one that's doing the action of removing the effect of the سَيِّئَة. I hope it's clear linguistically. If not, anyway, yani, it is what it is. Yani, in Sunday class, inshallah, we discuss it. In Arabic class. So the Shaykh is saying, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah is saying, so yani, he mentioned, the Shaykh Abdul Razak is saying, even though Shaykh Islam said that the سَيِّئَة is the maf'ul, but in reality, linguistically, both of them are maf'ul. Yani, because you're saying remove the سَيِّئَة. And you're also acting upon the removal is by the hasana. So both of them are maf'ul, but in terms of the intent of the meaning of the hadith, the sayya is the maf'ul bi, the one that the action will happen to, and the hasana is the fa'il, the one that would do the action of removing the effect of the sin. Why is this that this word has come advanced before the other one? He said, because what is intended here is mahuha, yani the erasing. يعني the erasing of what? Of the effect of the sin. The maqsood, يعني بالذكر هنا في الحديث, يعني what is intended here is the removal of the effect of the sin, and for that reason it was advanced and came first. And by this he is bringing, rahimahullah, is bringing to our attention that the intent in this hadith, the reason why sayyah is mentioned first, is because what is really the objective here is to remove the effect of the sin, not simply just doing good deeds, but what is intended is the removal of the effect or the consequence of the sin. And this is like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in reference to the urine of the Bedouin. He said, Subbu alayhi dhanuban min ma'in, and he pour upon it, upon the urine. That's what's going to be removed, the urine, the effect of the urine, pour upon it some, a bucket of water. Notice here that alayhi, the word alayhi, subbu alayhi, it came first. And this alayhi means upon the bowel, the urine. He didn't say subbu dhunuban min ma alayhi, don't. He didn't say pour a bucket of water upon the urine, but rather he said pour upon the urine a bucket of water in reverse order. Limadha, why is this? Because the jar al majrur, this is linguistic stuff, pardon me for this, but anyway, it's linguistic. Jar al majrur means the preposition and the word that comes after the preposition, yani meaning in this expression subbu alayhi, alayhi is the jar al majrur shibh jumla, who it is in reference to the urine. So the urine has been mentioned first because what is intended here is the removal of the effect of the urine, the filth. إِزَالَةُ الْأَثَرُ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَقْسُودُ This is what is really intended. That's why the urine is mentioned first and the water that's going to remove it is mentioned after it. Yani, we don't intend here just pouring of water. No, that's not the intent. But rather what is intended here is to remove the effect of the urine, and that's why urine is mentioned first and the water is mentioned after it. So when the intent here was izalat al-athar as-sayyi'ah, so in the hadith of following up an evil deed with a good deed. The intent here is to remove the effect of the sin by erasing its effect, so it was brought first. Because that is what we are concentrating on, removing the effect of the sin. And here we see from which aspect is the comparison, yani ashab zahir, yani the comparison between the hadith of following up an evil deed with a good deed and pouring upon the urine water, the effect of the comparison between these two things. Why did Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mention that hadith about pouring water, pouring over it a bucket of water? Why did he mention it in this discussion? The similarity between them is what? لِأَنَّ كُلٌّ مِنْهُمَا تَطْهِيرٌ. Because in every case there's purification. Purification of the effect of sin, purification of the filth of the urine. In both hadith, there's a purification. One of them is tathir hissi, yani physical purification, yani the urine. And the other one is tathir ma'anawi, abstract purification, meaning the purification from the effects, the consequences of the sin that will come in the next life. But in each one of them, there's tathir, purification. Each one of them, there's removal of the effect of the sin, the effect of the impurity of the urine. وَهَذَا إِزَالَ أَثْرُ الذُّنُوبِ. Yani in one case, there's the removal of the effect of dhunub, sins. And in the other case, there's the removal of the effect of the impurities, najasa, yani the impurity of the urine. In each one of them, there's purification. And this, the Shaykh, he ends by saying, هذا حقيقة من جمال البيان in the Shaykh of Islam, رحمه الله, وحسن الربط أيضا بين, here the word بين, أيضا بين المعاني والأشباه للتوديح. And here he says, هذا حقيقة, in reality, this shows the beauty of clarification that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned here, and the beauty of how he has tied these two hadith together, yani the meanings of them, and the similarities for clarification. And in each of them there's purification, and one there's physical purification, and the other one is abstract purification. So when the intent here in each one of them, was the removal of the effect, yani the effect of the urine or the effect of the sins, so in both cases, the قُدِّمَ هَذَا الْمَقْصُودِ فِي الْحَدِيثَيْنِ. So the thing that was really intended, yani the sins, removal of sins, and the bowel, the removal of the effect of the impurities of the urine, both of them came first in both hadith. And the Shaykh closes with this, na'am. And he stops here, we go to the next part. And we are a little bit over time, please. Again, pardon me. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوبوا إليك. If there's any question about something that we said tonight that's not clear, not outside of that, if there's something that we said that's not clear, inshallah, we take one or two questions.